invite you to take your Bibles while you're standing and turn to the book of Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be looking at the story of Joshua and who was Joshua. We're continuing a little series we did a little bit last summer and wanted to pick up on some other characters this year. And Joshua is one of those great characters of the Word, and I trust you'll know him better today after studying the Word than ever before. Joshua chapter 1, I want to take you to verse 5 and read through verse 9 of Joshua chapter 1. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you for its truth, and thank you for the great heroes of faith that we find in the Scriptures. I pray that you'll open up this book of Joshua to us by understanding the man that you have named the book after. We thank you, Father, for his service, for the simplicity of his service. And I pray that very simplicity would teach us that great things can be done for God by the simple ones, by simply taking one step ahead of the next. And we thank you, Father, for your blessing of giving us such a great hero of the faith to teach us as well to be heroic for the cause of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This book and study is a wonderful study. And I don't know if you've taken time to read through Joshua, but Joshua is, of course, the first book in the Scriptures named after an individual. There are a number of books in the Scriptures named after individuals. Titus, Philemon, other books come to mind, Ruth. But here's the first one, Joshua. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy was all that existed of the Scriptures up until that time, of the time of the book of Joshua. But Joshua was an interesting individual. You'll see at the very beginning of the book these words. Verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. So we're given an introduction to Joshua. The very simple introduction is, Moses was a servant of the Lord. He had a status, he had a stature, it had been established. Joshua is just simply the son of the man named Nun. He was Moses' assistant. And it's interesting to find that. If you go back into the Pentateuch, the first five books, you do find stories of Joshua. Joshua is always called Moses' assistant, his aide, his servant, so to speak. And he was present at some pretty interesting time. Joshua was one who was one of the spies. So he was faithful. We find Joshua as one who went with Moses up to the mountain as Moses communed with God, and he was there to witness some of those things. Joshua was faithful in what he said by way of advice to Moses from time to time. Joshua was used as the captain of the army of God at one point. Joshua was a servant. He was an aide. Now, the thing I think that's fascinating is that Joshua is not used as a major spokesman for God like Moses. Joshua is not used to give us a lot of information, but he was used as a servant of God to do an amazing thing. He took a bunch of nomadic farmers, shepherds, people, and brought them into the conquering of a land. Now, yes, God set the stage. God set the stage in some interesting ways. You will find that if you grab various commentaries, there seem to be three different approaches to the book of Joshua. if you look at a liberal commentary that would deny God's supernatural work, they seem to expend a lot of energy just trying to figure out who wrote Joshua and when, rather than talking about what Joshua was about. Instead of giving to you the lessons spiritually, they try to just defend their own thinking. After all, they're already confused about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, because they think all those things were written after the event. And they assume that Joshua was, well, after the event as well. As a matter of fact, some think he was written, his book was written well into the Babylonian captivity. So they spend all their effort doing that. So if you pick up a commentary that's dealing with those things, put it aside. It's not a good commentary. It doesn't let Scripture explain itself. And then there are others who will look at it as an explanation of the church age. And there are reasons for that. Look at, in our verse 5 and 6, you read down in the middle of verse 6 the word inheritance. And so a lot of people will say, look, it's all about the church and God's inheritance for the church. Well, then they miss all of the purpose of what Joshua was about. But if you take the time to look at who he was and what he was accomplishing, what God revealed, and let Scripture reveal itself and unfold itself, Joshua is nothing more than a servant of God who did some amazing things. And he did it early on. It's an early date for the entrance into the land. And this is Joshua's work that we're reading about. Let me read to you some interesting things about his time and day. For we sometimes think that we are the only ones who live in difficult times. However, there were some challenges going on in his day. He was supposed to take nomads, conquer a land, go across the Jordan Rift, which was a deep place, and take these people into the land and conquer this land for God. Here's what we read. According to the early date view, by the time of the Israelite invasion of Canaan, Pharaoh Amenhotep III, from 1417 to 1379, giving you that early date of the entrance into the land, was losing interest in his Asiatic territories. The campaigns of Thutmose III and his successors into Palestine and the oppressive administration of their oft-corrupt commissioners had seriously weakened the feudal system in towns established by the Hyksos in Egypt. Most of the petty kings of Canaan and Syria soon revolted from Egypt, stopped paying annual tribute. Cuneiform tablets found at Tel el Amarna in Egypt, the site of the capital of Amenhotep's son Akhenaten, are part of the royal archives of these two pharaohs. The majority were letters from vassal princes in Palestine and Syria pleading for aid from Pharaoh against neighboring city-states or against a group called Sagas or the Habiru. Apparently, most of these pleas went unanswered. The silence in the books of Joshua and Judges concerning Egypt thus may be explained by the fact that Egypt had a weak foreign policy from Amenhotep III until Seti I. The next pharaoh to march into Palestine, even then, the Egyptian armies did not always attempt to invade the mountains, which is what Israel conquered, but stuck to the coastal route when going to campaign against the Hittites in Syria. The Amarna tablets show that the book of Joshua accurately portrays the political situation in Canaan, a country divided into numerous small feudal city-states, prone to war with one another. It is perhaps significant that none of the extant Amarna letters come from or mention Jericho, Ai, Bethel, or Gibeon, cities destroyed or controlled by Joshua and the Israelites. Cities not captured or not permanently occupied by Israel are those from which letters were sent to Egypt requesting help: Jerusalem, Gezer, Lachish, Jarmuth, and Eglon. The Amarna correspondence seems to reflect the situation in Palestine early in the period of the Judges, although probably not during the time of the conquest itself under Joshua. In other words, Israel had come in, Joshua had conquered the mountain areas with Israel, and they were dividing the land and they were settling in, and the other city-states were looking and worried and nervous because their land was falling to pieces. Is being conquered by these invading people. Now, there are some archaeologists and others who say, well, we don't know who the Habiru were. Sometimes they're used of other people. Sometimes they're used of simply Bedouin-like shepherds. Seems to fit in, doesn't it, a bit, with who this group is coming in. They're not warlike people. And you know that these warlike, non-warlike people were not likely to succeed in battle against seasoned soldiers. But God did that, didn't he? God did some amazing things, but Joshua was being called by God to bring these nomadic farmers into a land and to conquer. What was he to conquer? He was to conquer some pretty despicable types. Let me share with you another paragraph from the same author. By the period of Joshua and the Judges, Canaanite religion had become exceedingly degraded. The religion, the chief emphasis was upon fertility and sex. The Rosh Shamra, Ugaritic tablets, revealed the licentious and brutal characteristics of Baal, Anath, Ashtaroth, Asherah, and other deities. The extent relics of fertility cult practices and serpent worship unearthed at Beth Shan, Megiddo, Hazor, and Gezer, etc., are evidence of child sacrifice, as in a foundation at Dothan, bear mute testimony to the need for strong measures on the part of the invading Israelites. Since sacred prostitution and other religious practices were spiritually contaminating, one can understand why God commanded the nation of Israel to exterminate the seven nations in Canaan. The holy war they and their cities were to be devoted to destruction, lest the religious life of God's people be endangered through contact with such idolatrous people. And of course we know that's what happened, because they did not have complete obedience. The nation of Israel followed after these other abhorrent gods, these idols. So Joshua had a challenge. He had some pretty tough days ahead of him, didn't he? But what he did have to go upon was the Word of God, and that's what we want to see about who was this Joshua. I want to share with you today three basic things we're going to find from our text in verses 1 through 9. First of all, Joshua was a humble man with a mission. We find that in verses 1 through 4. Verses 5 through 7, he was a humble man with a promise. And then finally, a humble man with a message in verses 8 through 9. A humble man with a mission. Why is he humble? Because he didn't strive after the title that Moses had. He was Moses' aide, and he was satisfied to be called that. And he even starts off his book by telling us this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Here's Joshua in the shadow of a great leader, a great man. Yes, with flaws, Joshua will have his too, but he's in the shadow and always in the shadow of Moses. As a matter of fact, we don't often think of Joshua first. We'll think of Moses well before we think of Joshua in the early days of Israel's history. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. This is about God, not about Joshua. Some people who become leaders become filled with and drunk with their own success. They become stuffed shirts, and they become somebody who has an image to uphold. Joshua is none of that. You don't find Joshua ever act in such a way. He is merely one who is so simple that he puts one foot ahead of the other in simple obedience and plodding along to serve God. And yet God did great things. You may not aspire to be a Moses, but maybe, just maybe, when you learn about Joshua today, you say, Lord, you can make me like a Joshua. I can serve you by simple obedience. God says, I'm doing this. It's not about you, Joshua. I am giving it to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will have given you. It's a divine decree that God gives them this land. This is a promised land, a land of promise. This is why often people look at Joshua and immediately interpret the church through it all. Yes, there are applications. Absolutely. You do learn about an inheritance in the New Testament for the saints in life. We are God's inheritance. When God saves you, you are inherited by the Lord. And He has an inheritance for you in glory, laid up in glory. So yes, there are applications, but that's what they are. Applications. The interpretation is, God's given the land of Israel this land of Palestine. It's His. It's theirs. Because God, by divine decree, said so. He says, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Anything in there about Joshua? Not really. He's just one of the many. He's been faithful. He's been a servant. As a matter of fact, he has watched his entire generation die off. So he's one of the old guys now, because he and Caleb are the only two that are going to enter into that land because of their faithful testimony of that entire generation that had left Egypt. Remember the wilderness wandering? It's Joshua who has seen God at work. He learned a lot of things, but it's still not about him, is it? It's about the Lord and what God will do. We see a humble man with a sense of mission. It's a mission that's larger than he is. It's a mission to accomplish something great. Some have thought of this book as a bridge book, as a filler, as one that kind of fills the gap from the relationship of what God did with Israel and bringing them out of captivity and creating them as a group of people. And it bridges to what God will do in bringing them into being a nation. And there's truth to that. It is a bridge book. It explains a lot of things. But it's a bridge book with a great lesson for the average individual. And that is, be obedient. Be crucially, imperatively obedient to what you know God has for you to do. Well, the humble man with a mission leads us to the humble man with a promise. God does speak to Joshua then. And here's what you need to know, Joshua, verses 5 through 7. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says similar words to Joshua. Let me read these to you from Deuteronomy 31. Then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also, the Lord also said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall possess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites in their land. When he destroyed them, the Lord will give them over to you, and you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. For you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you, you nor forsake you. Do not fear, nor be dismayed or discouraged. He goes on to list some of the things of steps of obedience that are necessary for Joshua and for the nation. So it's a continuing theme that we see at the beginning of Joshua. It picks up where things were left off. It's an interesting thing to look at our study and of this book, Joshua, and try to look at the beginning of each book. Genesis, there is no and or after or thing. It's just as in the beginning. Genesis starts us off. There's nothing being connected to it. It's a very Hebrew thing to do, what is found in the book of Joshua, where Joshua says after or and at the very beginning of the book. Why? Because we find Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers start with in the beginning, then and. Deuteronomy doesn't start with and. Something new. God says, I'm creating a nation. And Joshua. It is a book that bridges or continues the story of Deuteronomy. And here we find in Deuteronomy 31, you know, God says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be with you. God says, don't be afraid. Do not be fearful. Don't be discouraged. Obey. Obey the truth of the Word of God. Obey the law. And I will bless you. I've given you this inheritance. When we read in verses 5 through 7, these statements to Joshua, verse 5 tells us of the presence of God. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Believer, remember this. As God has been with believers in the past, He is with you. That is an amazing lesson. He's not less with you than He is with another believer. In the Scriptures, we find in the New Testament that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God when we trust Christ as Savior. The Lord's presence is with you, not less than with any other believer. Always the same. We need to remember that. When you're fearful, or discouraged, or struggling with the challenge, you'll be like Joshua. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Joshua is given this great encouragement of the presence of God. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And so faith is the encouragement in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. What is faith? It is a channel through which we aim at an object of that faith and we trust. And so that it is with Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. Have faith in this promise of God's presence and what God says He's going to do. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to let you sway in the wind. He's not going to forget you and ignore you. Joshua, despite your enemies and despite the conflicts of leading this nomadic bunch of people, despite that difficult process of getting the children of Israel through across the Jordan into this territory, which is already occupied by people who are not going to like you, he says, obey, because I'm not going to leave you. Trust me. Be strong and of good courage. This is a direct, sustaining assurance of success and encouraging him to bravery. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. This is what he will cause them to inherit. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. What is the charge that he was given? Is a charge to faithful obedience. He says, then therefore do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This is a man with a promise. No wonder Joshua was who he was. He heard words that continued to ring. It's like a hammer blow every time you hear strong and of good courage. 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 We've seen it four times in Deuteronomy 31 and here in Joshua 1. What would Joshua think of when he thinks of God's promise? Be strong and of good courage. Believers, that's what we need to be. Be strong and of good courage. That is the clarion call to all believers throughout all the ages. Because the Lord is with you. He will not forsake you. Aim your faith, your trust in that promise of God. Joshua was a man with a promise. He had a special relationship with the Word of God just as we. And remember this, saints. What was his Word? How much of it did he have? Genesis or Deuteronomy? He had watched Moses pen the words. He had been there as God consulted with Moses and spoke with him. He had been able to interact with Moses as to the whys and the wherefores. He had been involved in watching. And this is the beauty of the Word of God, believers. It doesn't have to be a word that just because of a long period of time and after a while a certain bunch of people have said, okay, that must be the word. It was the word from when it was penned. Because God's the author. And in that very strength of the fact of the word when it was penned as being the Word of God, Joshua was able to say, you know, I know the history of this book. And I know the power of the one who gave it to the one who wrote it. I know who God is. It's a very simple thing, isn't it, believers? To trust the Word of God. Trust the promise. And yet it's a very profound challenge, too. Don't be afraid of the Word. And don't be afraid of those who are the enemy of the Word. And don't be afraid to order your life after the Word of God. That is where we move in that last section of the passage. Man with a message, verses 8 and 9. This book of the law, this written law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Before we take these verses and look at them closely, Let me take you back to the book of Joshua chapter 23 and verse 6. Let me back up a little bit. This is verse 2. Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for the judges, and for their officers. This is coming to the end of his life, the end of the book of Joshua, the end of his purpose. I am old, advanced in age. You've seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is He who has fought for you. See, I've divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be inheritance for your tribes for the Jordan, from the Jordan with all the nations that I've cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Sound familiar? Unless you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done this day. You go down into chapter 24, and you remember that most famous of verses where he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in verse 15. Choose you this day whom you'll serve, he says. He has been and has lived at the end of the book of Joshua the very principles, the very message that he's been given at the beginning in chapter 1. And that message is the thing we want to see today as we apply this to our hearts. We find this humble man with a message being given these very simple principles. The book of the law will not depart from your mouth. Talk the word of God. Know the word. Talk it. Meditate upon it and obey it. Those are the four principles with regard to God's Word. He's to know the Word of God. Don't depart from it from the right hand to the left. Let this Word of God, the book of the law, remain in your mouth. Do not let it depart from your mouth. Talk about it. Meditate upon the Word, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. And then you need to obey it. For when then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? You find this very simple lesson to the entire book. Know the Word, talk the Word, meditate upon the Word, and obey the Word. That is the very simple lesson. And it's the outset of the book of Joshua, and it's also who Joshua is. Who was this Joshua? He was one who knew the Word, knew where it came from, knew what it took to have it written down, and studied it, knew the Word. He meditated upon the Word. That was God's call to him, day and night. Meditate on the Word. Why do we meditate on the Word? When you meditate upon the Word, it's not just knowing the Word, but it becomes a practical thing, because then you begin to apply it when you meditate on the Word. I skipped one. Talk about the Word. Think about the places in your life where it's not politically correct to talk about the Word of God. There are a few out there. Think about the places where it's okay, acceptable, but we still don't talk about the Word of God because maybe we don't know it enough, or we've not meditated upon it as we ought to, or maybe we're not obeying. But it doesn't let us off the hook, does it? We need to talk about the Word and be unafraid to talk about the principles of the Word of God. We live in a day and age where the world seems to think it's okay to keep the church and religion in its playpen. And every now and then you can bring it out of the playpen when it's good to talk about it, or when we need it as a crutch, or when we need its assistance, those people of faith. But believers, God never puts the church in the playpen. If you know the Word and you meditate upon it day and night, you will have to talk about its principles and its truth. Very simple thing. One foot in front of the other. As you talk about the Word with one another and with the world and interact in a thinking way, you will also be meditating upon the Word too, applying it in practical ways. You don't just meditate on something without a purpose of making it practical, without it having an influence in our life. And then there's that challenge of obeying the Word. That's what we're called to do in the Scriptures. Joshua was called with just the same challenge. Goal of meditation is application. To know the Word is the challenge. In knowing the Word, we're to be talking about the Word, and that will be Israel's call. It's the call for the saints of God to talk about the Word of God. Shame on us when we don't know enough of the Word to talk about the Word. Shame on us when we know the Word and we don't talk about the Word. Shame on us when we don't seek to meditate upon the Word of God because we're just too busy. If we don't know it, talk about it, meditate on it, then you can't possibly be obeying it. Joshua was a simple individual, a simple man of God, and he did amazing things to take a bunch of nomads into a land in God's time, as God had prepared that land already for them. And God brought them in across some difficult things, a bunch of younger people who were not mercenaries, they were not soldiers, and they began to conquer city after city as they obeyed God. And you know the story of Joshua with Jericho and Joshua with some of these other cities. Just amazing blessings of God and miracles that God brought about, even in the allowing the sun to remain in the valley for a period of time, longer than a normal day. It's amazing to see what God did. Why? Because Joshua heard what God said. Be strong and of good courage. We saw it at the end of this verse, verse 9. That's the fifth time we see it. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We have some simple lessons for us as saints today as well. We need to take the formula of success that Joshua was given, because there is no substitute for this formula. The full obedience to God. Know the Word. Talk the Word. Meditate the Word, and obey the Word. That's our formula. And God gives us that great promise, just like He gives Joshua. I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, unto the end of the earth. God made Joshua to be a person who would obey God to the tiniest detail. He didn't depend upon clever methods or clever men. He didn't depend upon anything but obedience to the Word. Can you be that person today? I know discouragement can overtake you, and challenges of the day can overtake you, and difficulties can come. But if you will simply obey the Word, know it, talk it, meditate upon it, and obey the Word, putting one foot in front of the other, you too can be a Joshua. That's the beauty of who is this Joshua. I'd like to ask you, as you prepare your heart to worship the Lord together today in the quietness of the moment or two of silence, that you would apply these things to your life. Where have you started to fall aside in your faithful spiritual obedience to the Lord? Where have you not been a Joshua? Have you been questioning God's presence? You need to confess that sin. You need to ask God to remind you of His presence with you every day, believer. Are you not courageous because you haven't spent time in the Word of God like you ought to? Ask God to open your eyes to the Scriptures. Know the Word. How about your ability to talk about the Word? Have you been talking about the Word of God and the truth of the Word as much as you used to, or as much as you should? I would encourage you to begin to ask God to help you do that. Worship Him. Yield to Him. Bow before Him today and ask Him to help you be more of a spokesman of the Word. How about meditating upon the Word? Not just in devotion, but making it a point of taking the Word and applying it to your daily life. The goal of meditation is application, practically. How about obedience? Have you stopped walking in the faith, putting one foot in front of the other, just stepping one more step ahead in serving the Lord? What stopped you? Believer, let's bow before the Lord today and ask Him to help us be more faithful, to be a Joshua, and be unafraid because of what God promises. Give you a few moments of prayer as you come before the Lord. Father, as your people have prayed this morning, I pray that you will gather them up in your arms and encourage them. For each comes before you today with either a thankful heart or a challenged heart. And I pray that you will encourage those who are thankful for what you are doing as they obey you. Help them to have memories that are blessings of where they have stepped forward for Christ and you have ministered to them and you have brought success in the things of God. For saints who become discouraged and perhaps have grown weary in the walk and in the faithful service of Christ, I pray that once again you will challenge them with the very simple lesson to the book in the book of Joshua and to the man Joshua. Father, help us to realize that he was a plodder in the faith and just simply faithful and obedient. Always happy to be in the background with Moses. Always happy to be on the sideline observing. And then happy to be used of God as he obeyed. Lord, I pray that you'll raise up Joshuas among us here today. We may not think of ourselves as a Moses, but we can certainly understand what it is to be a faithful servant who just takes one more step for Christ as you call us in the faithful obedience to the Word. I pray that you'll help us as we yield to you and your claims upon us to be faithful servants like Joshua. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.